Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Monday, July 26th, 2021. Coming up this hour,
stocks drop around the world as China widens its technology crackdown.
Sparks fly as the U.S. and China begin high-level talks.
It's looking like a key week for bipartisan infrastructure talks.
And big tech leads a busy week for corporate earnings.
House Speaker Pelosi picks GOP Congressman Adam Kinzinger to be on the Capitol Riot Committee. Plus, wildfires continue to burn in the West. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Yankees had a near no-hitter but blew a big lead and lost in Boston. The Mets beat Toronto.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good Monday morning. I'm Amy Morris.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Global stocks are falling this morning. It's coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes during the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 19 points, Dow futures down 218, and NASDAQ futures down 36 points. The DAX in Germany, CAC in Paris, both down 0.2%. The 10-year Treasury is up 12 30 seconds. The yield 1.23%. Yield on the 2-year 0.19%. NYMEX crude down 1.4%, down $1.03 at $71.04 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.4%, up $6.50 at $18.1240 an ounce. The euro 1.1783 against the dollar. The yen 110.24. Amy?
Nathan, let's begin in Asia, where China has unveiled a sweeping overhaul of its education tech sector. Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis begins our team coverage from Hong Kong.
This latest dictate bans companies that teach the school curriculum from making profits. They cannot raise capital or go public. It's a plethora of regulations that jeopardizes billions of dollars of investment. Companies can't accept overseas investment. They cannot hire foreigners outside the country. It could even affect offshore Chinese firms themselves. Outright acquisitions forbidden. The companies have no choice but to comply, and they have. Most have lost more than two-thirds of their value in the past 2 days of trading. In Hong Kong, Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Brian, thanks. That government crackdown in China led to a deep drop in Asian equities overnight. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally continues our team coverage from Singapore. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and Amy. Beijing's sweeping reforms of the $100 billion industry saw the Hang Seng Index close lower by 4% in Hong Kong, its biggest drop since May last year, to erase 2021's gains. The Hang Seng Tech Index fell 6.5% to July 2020 lows as analysts scrambled to cut their price targets on education stocks, JP Morgan remaining underweight on the sector, saying the worst case has become a reality. The CSI 300 also erased 2021's gains, closing down 3.2%. In Singapore, Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thank you, Juliet. Sentiment's also taking a hit from fresh tensions between the U.S. and China. Sparks are flying as high-level talks between the two countries get underway. Let's get the latest on that live with Bloomberg's John Tucker. John.
Amy, China minces no words. They say the U.S.-China relationship is at a stalemate. The country's vice foreign minister says some Americans seek to portray China as an imagined enemy. The visit by the U.S. Deputy Secretary of State in Tianjin follows a series of White House actions challenging China that prompted Beijing to announce fresh sanctions against Americans, including the former Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross. The U.S. effort to extradite a Huawei executive from Canada has been a major sticking point between the two sides. If these talks somehow wind up being fruitful, they could set up a meeting between Presidents Joe Biden and Xi Jinping. In New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thanks. Back here in the U.S., it's all about infrastructure on Capitol Hill. Senators are racing to reach a bipartisan deal ahead of the latest deadline. Bloomberg's Renita Young joins us live with more. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. Senators negotiating the $580 billion package want to finish early this week. They're under pressure to salvage an August recess and to free up the Senate to focus on preventing a government shutdown and debt ceiling default. The 22-member bipartisan group has been nitpicking minor components of their plan. And this is after Republicans declined Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer's deadline for action last week. But the clock is ticking, and their pending five-week break is scheduled to begin on August 9th. In New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right. Thank you, Renita. Turning to the pandemic now, as the Delta variant spreads, the country's top COVID doctor is voicing concern and says booster shots might soon be needed. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has that story.
Dr. Anthony Fauci says cases are going up mainly in unvaccinated areas of the country, but that puts more and more people at risk. Fauci on CNN says with projections of a quick multiplying of cases now.
We're going in the wrong direction. If you look at the inflection of the curve, it is among the unvaccinated. And since we have 50% of the country is not fully vaccinated, that's a problem.
Fauci says he's not sure of a worst case scenario, but it's not going to be good. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Ed. Back on Wall Street, we're gearing up for a busy week for earnings. More than 170 companies in the S&P 500 report, including some big names in tech. Here with more is Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
Among some of the biggest technology names and most closely watched will be Apple, Alphabet, Amazon, Facebook, Microsoft, and Tesla. Those reports come amid rising earnings expectations. Alicia Levine is with Bank of New York Mellon Wealth Management.
So EPS alone has gone up about 10% just for the second quarter as earnings season has rolled in, and that'll move higher. The concern is 2022, because as 2021 has moved higher, 2022 earnings expectations have not.
Also reporting this week, ExxonMobil, Chevron, Caterpillar, GE, Merck, and Pfizer. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thank you, Charlie. In addition to earnings, we're also looking for a policy decision from the Fed this week. The pace of the central bank's bond buying program will be a major focus come Wednesday. Officials will probably also discuss how to balance downside risks from the Delta variant with upside risks to inflation.
Well, we're seeing Bitcoin rise to start this trading week. Some attribute the gains to short covering, while others point to ongoing speculation over Amazon's potential involvement in cryptocurrency. Checking Bitcoin right now, it's up about 11% on the session at $38,370. Futures moving lower. S&P futures are down 16 points. Dow futures down 197. NASDAQ futures lower by 31 points. The 10-year is up 10/32nds, yield 1.24%. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and the check of sports. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Nathan. It's 5:07 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr with more on what else is going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Amy. California's largest wildfire merged with a smaller blaze and destroyed homes in remote areas with limited access for firefighters. The massive Dixie Fire had already leveled a dozen houses and other structures in the tiny community of Indian. Mitch Matlow, a public information officer, says firefighters have quite a battle ahead of them.
As the smoke clears, the sun warms the ground, and things change today, we're going to see those air masses start moving very quickly. What does that mean for the firefighters on the ground? Erratic, windy fire behavior.
Matlow says the Dixie Fire is about 21% contained. Crews in Oregon reported progress against the nation's largest wildfire, the Bootleg Fire. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi appointed Republican Representative Adam Kinzinger to a select committee investigating the January insurrection at the Capitol. Last week, Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy pulled all five of his own Republican picks when Pelosi vetoed two of them. Pelosi says that she plans to tap other Republican lawmakers for the select committee.
We do not come into our work worried about what the other side, who has been afraid of this, maybe the Republicans can't handle the truth.
Pelosi spoke on ABC's This Week, which can be heard Sundays on Bloomberg. More than 700 employees of People's United Bank in Connecticut will lose their jobs when the lender is acquired by a Buffalo, New York-based bank, according to the Hartford Courant. A filing by M&T Bank with the Connecticut Labor Department says 747 positions in Connecticut will be eliminated. On a return trip from the Tokyo Olympic Games, First Lady Jill Biden stopped over in Hawaii, visiting Joint Base Pearl Harbor Hickam. Dr. Biden thanked those who serve and their families.
Military families may not wear a uniform, but you serve as well. And you stand beside your spouse or your parent through every single deployment.
The First Lady also visited a vaccine clinic. The running of the bull continues on New York's Long Island. The escaped bull has been on the run for days. Police in Suffolk County began getting calls about the bull nearly a week ago after it broke through the fence of a local farm. The bull, named Barney, has since been walking across fields, roads, and even the front yards
of some homes, but hasn't yet been tracked down. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Amy.
All right. Thank you, Michael. It is 5:10 on Wall Street. Time now for the Burden Accountants and Advisor Sports Reporters, John Stashower.
All right, Amy, there is a narrative that competing in the home run derby hurts your swing and your home run production tails off afterwards. Not the case with Pete Alonso.
Now the payoff pitch. Swing and a drive to left. Well hit. It's on the way. And this game is tied. Pete Alonso with a line drive home run into the lower left field stands. Number 22 for Alonso.
WCBS the call. Alonso won the home run derby for the second straight time. Has now hit 5 home runs in the 9 games since the break. Jeff McNeil followed in that 6th inning with a 2-run double. And the Mets beat the Blue Jays 5-4 in Rich Hill's Mets debut. Just acquired from Tampa Bay. He went the first 5 innings. Yet another implosion by the Yankee bullpen. Yet again, a big lead late in the game vanished, and it's not as if it's been one guy. Aroldis Chapman has coughed up some leads, but so has Chad Green twice. Jonathan Loaisiga has mostly pitched well, but he gave up 4 runs in the 8th inning in a loss last month, and he gave up 5 in the 8th inning yesterday. The Red Sox won 5-4 through 7 innings. The Sox did not have a single hit off Domingo Germán, who was pitching the game of his life. He actually struck out 4 in the 7th inning, as one reached first on a wild pitch. The Yanks lose 3-4 in the series. 2 of the losses were big Boston comebacks. Olympic swimming, the women's 400-meter freestyle lived up to the hype. 20-year-old Australian Ariane Titmus came from behind, beat out Katie Ledecky by less than a second. Ledecky in Rio 5 years ago won gold in all 5 of her events. Caleb Dressel looking to win perhaps 6 golds in Tokyo. He won his first, swam the first leg as the U.S. won gold in the 4x100 freestyle relay. Mustache Hour, Bloomberg Sports. Amy.
Thank you, John. The Bloomberg Sports Report brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Let them help protect you, your family, and your business. S&P futures down 16 points. This is Bloomberg. Looking at weather, mostly sunny and hot today. We're going up to 90 degrees, back down to 70, but still kind of sticky tonight, and then back up to 90 with more sunshine tomorrow. Right now it's 73 degrees in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
I'm Nathan Hager. Stocks are falling along with U.S. futures at the start of a busy week for earnings and policy updates. China's widening technology crackdown is weighing on risk sentiment this morning. We check the markets every 15 minutes during the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are down almost 16 points. Dow futures down 174. NASDAQ futures down almost 28 points. The DAX in Germany down 0.6%. The CAC in Paris down 0.5%. The 10-year Treasury is up 10/32. Yield 1.24%. Yield on the 2-year 0.19%. NYMEX crude down 0.8%. Down 59 cents at $71.48 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.4% or $7.40 at $18.13.30 an ounce. The euro 1.1791 against the dollar. British pound 1.3780. The yen is at 110.32. At 10 a.m. Wall Street time, we get new home sales for the month of June. Then at 10:30, it's the Dallas Fed's manufacturing activity. Tesla and Lockheed Martin among companies scheduled to report earnings today. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Senators are racing to seal a bipartisan infrastructure deal as soon as today. One major roadblock is how much money should go to public transit, but spending on water projects, broadband, and other areas remain unresolved. Dozens of wildfires are burning across the western U.S. Oregon's Bootleg Fire remains the country's largest fire, and the Dixie Fire in California is threatening communities north of Sacramento. Caleb Dressel got started on his quest for 6 gold medals in swimming at the Tokyo Olympics. Dressel won the men's freestyle relay. Katie Ledecky found herself in a very unusual position, second place in the 400 freestyle. So far, China leads the medal count at the Olympics at 15. The U.S. is second at 14 with 7 gold. China has 6. Major League Baseball, the Red Sox beat the Yankees. The Mets won. The Orioles beat the Nationals. The Giants won. The A's lost. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Amy.
All right. Thank you, Michael. It is 520 on Wall Street. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. We're joined now by Lori Calavicina, the head of U.S. equity strategy at RBC Capital Markets. Lori, good morning. Thank you for joining us. Always a pleasure. And let's just get right to it with China. We've been talking this morning about China's crackdown on the education sector. Does this rate as any kind of concern for you?
Well, good morning, Amy. Thanks for having me, as always. Look, I would say, you know, the initial thought, right, is the futures are down, so we have to watch what the market is telling us. They're not down in a massive way, so we also have to take that into account. I think that, to be honest, U.S. equity investors are more focused on corporate earnings this week, but at the same time, we know that the stock price reactions to earnings have been pretty mixed. This has been kind of a choppy tape in recent weeks, even though we did end last week on an up note. So you don't like to see these kinds of headlines coming into a Monday, coming into a new week that's going to be pretty heavy on earnings when investors are pretty jittery. So I think we look at it from a risk sentiment perspective.
Let's get into those earnings. As stocks are at a record high, we're entering the week with the tech earnings. Looking at your outlook for markets this week.
So, you know, I think this is going to be a really important week. It's the crazy busy week of reporting season. It's the one we've all been waiting for. And I think this is where we really see where the story of reporting season unfolds. One of the things that we've noticed as we've gone through this reporting season so far is that the value kind of cyclical part of the market driven by financials has really faltered. So we are seeing, you know, plenty of earnings beats. But when we look at the pace of upward revisions, you're seeing a clear deceleration in financials, which had been one of the leading sectors on upward revisions all year. And so what we're really looking for this week is to see whether or not tech revisions, growth revisions will continue to be strong if that part of the market is really going to be able to assume the leadership mantle and if the financials falter is a one-off or more of a sign of things to come.
So what does that mean then for Apple, Amazon, and Microsoft? How important would those earnings reports be?
Well, so, you know, what I think in terms of the big tech companies, you know, we have generally seen better reactions to some of the tech earnings that have come out so far. And the other thing that we've noticed so far in this reporting season is that bigger cap companies have shown just a greater tendency to beat. And, you know, we think that's one of the reasons why the individual stock price reactions, you know, have been kind of mixed. But then you look at the market as a whole last week and it moved up. It's because those bigger mega cap companies have really been taking the weight of this market on its shoulders. They've been coming through with good results and they've been really helping to propel the index higher.
Now, we also expect to hear from the Fed in just a couple of days, the Fed rate decision, a press conference from Chairman Powell. What are you going to be watching for?
So our team thinks it's unlikely we're going to get anything definitive out of this meeting. You know, I'll tell you from an equity market perspective, sort of the timeline around tapering and hikes is what everybody is laser focused on. And we did get sort of a real readjustment after that June meeting. We basically saw hike expectations. A lot of those moved from 2023 into the second half of 2022. And tapering expectations really firmed up for 4Q of this year or 1Q of next year. So we'd be looking, frankly, for any language that might push equity investors off that timeline. But again, this may not be, you know, sort of the meeting where we get that.
So are you still seeing COVID concerns impacting markets and investors? And do you anticipate that getting worse as the Delta variant becomes more widespread?
You know, what's really interesting, Amy, is that week one of reporting season, so 2 weeks ago when all the financials reported and we had a smattering of other companies, there was really kind of an alarmist tone on COVID from the company earnings calls that came out. That seemed to have been toned down last week. It's almost like somebody sent a memo telling people not to spook the equity market. So we'll see what companies have to say this week. I will say that we do think COVID concerns are driving positioning trades within the U.S. equity market. The large, small growth value and defensive cyclical secular cyclical trades are really being driven by the trend in COVID cases, and that's been going on since March. It's just only really recently that investors have started to take notice that that's happening.
And just in about 30 seconds, looking at the inflation and supply chain pressures lingering from that, is that going to have an impact?
So, you know, it's a great question, and I think it adds to uncertainty. We are starting to see investors worry that inflationary impacts are going to have a negative reverberation on demand. That's something we saw pretty clearly in our June equity investor survey. And so far in this reporting season, we're seeing that companies think these supply chain pressures and inflationary pressures are going to stick around for a while.
All right. We'll be watching it with you, Lori Calavicina, head of U.S. equity strategy at RBC Capital Markets, as we enter quite a big week for the Fed. Right now, we're looking at S&P futures down 15 and a quarter, Dow futures down 171 points, NASDAQ futures down 28 and a quarter. 10-year up 11 32nds, the yield at 1.24%. Much more still to come on this Monday morning edition of Bloomberg Daybreak. Stay with us. We'll check the markets and bring you the latest news in business, economics, and finance. This is Bloomberg. Coming up on Bloomberg Daybreak, China's crackdown on the education sector having an impact on markets. Bloomberg News Chief Asia Economics Correspondent Enda Curran joins us from Hong Kong. That's just ahead. This is Bloomberg.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Amy Morris.
I'm Nathan Hager. We're just about 4 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Stocks are falling around the world this morning. Treasury yields are also on the decline, with the real yield on 10-year bonds falling to a record low. Equities in Asia took a big hit overnight as China widens its technology crackdown. The country announced a broad set of reforms for private education companies. We get more from Bloomberg's John Liu in Beijing.
You see this greater scrutiny of not only tech, but just business in general. Are companies taking advantage of their position in the market? Are companies abusing their ability to set prices, to affect how consumers are spending? Are companies properly protecting the data that they get from their users? All of these questions much more in the limelight than they've ever been.
Bloomberg's John Liu in Beijing says the new regulations ban companies that teach school curriculums from making profits, raising capital, or going public.
Sentiment's also taking a hit this morning from fresh tensions between the U.S. and China. Let's get the latest live with Bloomberg's John Tucker. John.
And good morning, Amy. As high-level talks begin in Taizhen, Beijing says the relationship between the U.S. and China is in a stalemate. Chinese diplomats presented Deputy U.S. Secretary of State Wendy Sherman with a list of what they called U.S. wrongdoings that must stop. The visit follows a series of White House actions challenging Beijing. It's the highest level face-to-face meeting since an acrimonious exchange in March in Alaska. In New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. Back here in the U.S., it's all about infrastructure on Capitol Hill. Senators are racing to reach a bipartisan deal ahead of the latest deadline. Bloomberg's Renita Young joins us live with more. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. Senators negotiating the $580 billion package want to finish early this week. They're under pressure to salvage an August recess and to free up the Senate to focus on preventing a government shutdown and a debt ceiling default. The 22-member bipartisan group has been nitpicking minor components of their plan. But the clock is ticking, and their pending five-week break is scheduled to begin on August 9th. In New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Renita. Looking ahead to the markets this week, earnings in the Fed are front and center. Apple, Amazon, Facebook, and Microsoft lead a busy week for tech earnings, and the Fed issues a policy decision on Wednesday.
Ahead of all that, it's a sell-off for equities this morning, with S&P futures down 13 points, Dow futures down 156, NASDAQ futures down almost 15 points. 10-year Treasury is up 10 32nds, the yield 1.24%. Your latest local headlines and a check of sports next. This is Bloomberg.
All right, thank you, Nathan. 5:33 now on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr with more on what else is going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Amy. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi confirmed she plans to tap Republican Congressman Adam Kinzinger to serve on the January 6th Capitol Riot Commission. It comes after House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy pulled all five of his GOP picks from the committee when Pelosi vetoed two of them last week. Pelosi spoke about the dispute.
I wanted to appoint three of the members that Leader McCarthy suggested, but he withdrew their names. The two that I would not appoint are people who would jeopardize the integrity of the investigation.
Pelosi was on ABC's This Week, which can be heard Sundays on Bloomberg. Dozens of wildfires are burning across the western U.S. In Northern California, the huge Dixie Fire exploded in size after merging with a smaller blaze. It has burned at least a dozen homes and is threatening as many as 10,000. On a return trip from the Tokyo Olympic Games, First Lady Jill Biden stopped over in Hawaii visiting a vaccine clinic Sunday at the Waipawa High School to encourage people to get a shot in the arm.
Being fully vaccinated is the best way to protect yourself from hospitalization and death.
Dr. Biden also stopped at Joint Base Pearl Harbor, Hickam. A civil rights activist who suffered physical pain in the fight against Jim Crow and segregation has died. Robert Moses was involved in the 1964 Freedom Summer when hundreds of students went to the South to register to vote. Robert Moses was 86. Jackie Mason, whose brand of stand-up comedy got laughs from nightclubs in the Catskills to West Coast talk shows and Broadway stages, has also died. Mason died over the weekend in Manhattan at age 93. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Amy.
All right, thank you, Michael. 5:35 on Wall Street. Time now for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Report. Here's John Stashower.
Thanks, Amy. It did look as if there was going to be late-inning drama yesterday in Boston. Not about who would win the game. The Yankees led 4-0 in the eighth inning, but whether Domingo Germán would pitch the second road no-hitter of the Yankees season, do something that no opposing pitcher has done at Fenway Park since 1958. Alex Verdugo's double leading off the eighth end of the no-hitter. So Germán faced 23 batters before allowing a hit. Jonathan Loaisiga faced four batters. All four got hits. The Red Sox scored five in the eighth and won 5-4. And yet again, Aaron Boone had to react to a big lead blown in the late inning.
These guys have handled and dealt with adversity. You know, we've dealt with it in this series and bounced back, and I know we'll do it again.
The Yankees 3-10 versus the Red Sox this season. Mets scored four runs in the sixth inning. Another Pete Alonso home run, his fifth in the last nine games. Jeff McNeil, two-run double. The Mets beat the Blue Jays 5-4. Katie Ledecky does not often lose. 5 years ago, she won gold medals in all five events, but in the 400-meter freestyle, she was beaten out by Ariane Titmus at the World Championship 2 years ago, and the 20-year-old Australian beat out Ledecky again. Titmus trailed by a full body length midway through the race, but she won by less than a second. Her time, second fastest ever, topped only by the world record Ledecky set in Rio. Ledecky's time last night was her second fastest ever. New Olympic event, women's street skateboarding, and 13-year-olds won gold and silver, with a 34-year-old American, Alexis Sablon, finishing fourth. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports, Amy.
All right, thank you, John. It is 5:37 on Wall Street. Time now for the Tri-State Business Report. For that, we're joined by Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
Owners of older office buildings in Manhattan have an expensive problem. With a record amount of space available in New York, including at the shiny new towers preferred by finance and tech companies, landlords of dated skyscrapers are in a tough spot. They're forced to plow cash into pricey renovations to stay competitive. Oceanfront towns in New Jersey have lost the ability to block underwater transmission lines to their communities from wind farms off the shores of the state. Governor Phil Murphy signed legislation last week that allows wind project developers to appeal local decisions to the New Jersey Board of Public Utilities. Well, gun sales are spiking in Connecticut. Preliminary numbers provided by the Connecticut State Police show about 169,000 gun sale authorizations in 2020. The current report, that's up from about 127,000 in 2019. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
Thank you, Ed. 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WBBM in Chicago, I'm talking about Boeing. Its battered engineering reputation will be on the line again this week when its Starliner spaceship blasts off from Florida with supplies for the International Space Station.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on WHAS in Louisville. General Motors is suing Ford over the branding of self-driving cars.
I'm Roger Hearing on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on the government considering removing China's state-owned nuclear company from all future power projects in the UK.
I'm Steve Podolsky, and on 1010 Winds in New York, we're talking about a new survey that finds just over half of U.S. adults are holding on to an unused gift card or store credit.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Coming up this week, earnings from big tech are front and center. Second quarter results from Tesla could be a mixed bag. The electric car maker reports today. Bloomberg's Larry Kofsky has a preview.
Worldwide deliveries more than doubled from last year's pandemic-plagued second quarter, topping 200,000 for the first time. But there's a catch. Bloomberg Intelligence says growing popularity of Tesla's less expensive Model 3 and Model Y are crowding out its more profitable Model S and Model X, which in the first quarter made up just 1% of total sales. Analysts are forecasting a second quarter profit for Tesla of 97 cents a share on revenue of $11.3 billion. Larry Kofsky, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And coming up on the economic front this week, the Federal Reserve meets on interest rate policy. Here with more, Bloomberg's Vidi Del Giudice.
In a prelude to this week's meeting, Fed Chair Jerome Powell told Congress that the COVID-19 economic recovery hasn't progressed enough to begin scaling back asset purchases. Powell said reaching the standard of substantial further progress is still a ways off, but Fed officials anticipate progress will continue. On this week's data agenda, a key report, second quarter GDP. Economists anticipate faster growth, something in the neighborhood of 8%, as the American economy reopens. Vinny Dow, Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Vinny. S&P futures are down 12. Dow futures down 141 points. NASDAQ futures down 11 and a quarter. 10-year up 10, 30 seconds. The yield at 1.24%. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. The Bloomberg Sports Report was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Let them help protect you, your family, and your business. This is Bloomberg.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager. Stocks are falling along with U.S. futures. China's widening tech crackdown is weighing on risk sentiment at the start of a busy week for earnings and policy updates. The real yield on U.S. 10-year debt is at a record low, with concerns growing over the outlook for economic growth. We check the markets every 15 minutes during the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are down 10.5 points. Dow futures down 128. NASDAQ futures down 9.5 points. The 10-year Treasury is up 9.30 seconds. Yield 1.24%, yield on the 2-year 0.19%. NYMEX crude down 0.6%, down 42 cents at $71.66 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.4%, up $6.60 at $18.1250 an ounce. The euro is at 1.1795 against the dollar, and the yen is at 110.32. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael?
Thank you very much, Nathan. The U.S. is moving in the wrong direction in combating a new wave of COVID-19, and a booster vaccine shot may be needed, especially for the most vulnerable. The nation's top infectious disease expert, Dr. Anthony Fauci, says new recommendations on masking for the vaccinated are under active consideration as the Delta variant surges. Caleb Dressel got started on his quest for 6 gold medals in swimming at the Tokyo Olympics. Dressel won the men's freestyle relay. Katie Ledecky found herself in a very unusual position, second place in the 400 freestyle. Australia's Ariana Titmus chased down Ledecky to win it. So far, China leads the medal count at the Tokyo Olympics at 15. The U.S. is second at 14 with 7 gold. Major League Baseball, the Red Sox beat the Yankees. The Mets won. The Orioles beat the Nationals. The Giants won. The A's lost. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Amy.
All right. Thank you, Michael. It is 5:49 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. As we turn to China, where Asian stocks fell as Beijing's widening technology sector crackdown hurt Hong Kong and Chinese equities. For more, we are joined live by Bloomberg News Chief Asia Economics Correspondent Enda Curran in Hong Kong. Enda, thank you for taking the time with us this morning. We've been talking about China taking those drastic steps to restrain the country's after-school tutoring industry that's prompting this sell-off. What is this all about?
Well, the rules are pretty sweeping, pretty strict, Amy. Like you just mentioned, essentially they will ban companies that teach school curriculums from making profits, for example, or raising capital or going public. And the kind of backstory has been one that these companies are charging too much money to parents, that they're piling on too much stress onto parental expectations onto younger kids. So it's been a long-running issue. Now, our own Bloomberg economists have done some analysis of it, and they say that the gist of it, Amy, to answer your point, is that it's basically aimed at bringing down expensive education costs, and this is all part of China's challenger as it tries to address its own demographic challenges of low birth rates and the aging population and shrinking workforce. So yes, it's a shock on a headline basis. It is sweeping and broad ranging, but the economists are saying that there might be some method to it all.
I see that, but it also appears that the Chinese equities are set for the worst retreat in a year. Could this backfire on them?
Fair point, Amy. I mean, we're early stages on this. If the execution isn't done correctly, for example, then it might cause investors to think twice about doing business in China. If it's seen as, you know, hurting on innovation and investment in the broader economy and plays into the slowing growth story, then certainly it will be seen as a negative. But I think right here, right now, we're at early stages of this news, early stages of this reform. I think it will take time to digest and see exactly how the authorities do plan to implement it. And of course, we should remember that, you know, innovation and technology is at the core of China's economic and industrial strategy. So China's not going to step away from innovation and technology. They may be clamping down on this sector for sure, but we know that they're going to push technology to keep their economy pushing forward.
And it's not the only issue going on with China in the news right now. The number two diplomat, Wendy Sherman from the U.S., supposed to be meeting today with Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi. What are you looking for out of that meeting?
Yep, that's right, Amy. We had a readout from the Chinese side earlier when the Deputy Secretary of State met the Vice Foreign Minister in Tianjin. The language that came out of that wasn't especially encouraging. China said that America was trying to portray China as an imagined enemy. But at the same time, there was some commentary around trying to seek a common ground. I think the real takeaway, Amy, will be whether or not the two sides, they will be probably exchange barbs, but will they come out of it saying that there is some common ground and that they do see a pathway for perhaps the two leaders, Xi and Biden, to meet at some point this year, maybe at a G20 summit. So, you know, don't think anyone's expecting any breakthrough, no kind of a circuit breaker in the China-US story, but we'll see if there's enough ground there that might lay do the footwork for a meeting between the two leaders, and that's probably the most anyone can expect from this meeting.
And very briefly, the China-U.S. relationship, according to China, in a stalemate. Does that leave any wiggle room for hope for a meeting, particularly, say, at the Group of 20 summit in October between Biden and Xi Jinping?
Well, I think this is the point. I think it's expectations are low, Amy. And I think if we do come out of this meeting with at least some kind of agreement that there could be a path towards a meeting between two leaders, that would be seen as a positive. But as I mentioned to you, overall expectations for a meaningful breakthrough from these talks, I think, are quite low.
All right. Bloomberg News Chief Asia Economics Correspondent Anda Curran in Hong Kong talking to us about the crackdown on the widening technology sector crackdown that China has put into place, as well as the continued strain in U.S.-China relations. Let's turn now to Nathan Hager. Nathan.
All right, Amy Morris. Thanks very much. It is 5:53 on Wall Street. Time for our Bloomberg Law Report. The legal stories we're watching this morning with Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Florida is asking the Supreme Court to free the cruise industry from the Centers for Disease Control's preconditions that are necessary before ships can resume sailing. A federal court in Massachusetts refused to dismiss a proposed class action challenging the fees and investment options in Biogen's 401k plan, but some claims were trimmed. Adidas and Reebok filed trademark infringement suits against hundreds of businesses and individuals in a Florida federal court. The defendants are accused of selling counterfeit products.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Now to another legal story we're watching. Return to office mandates are taking shape, and that is sparking legal battles over employee requests to continue working from home. There's been a spike in requests from workers with disabilities looking for an accommodation under federal disability law. Legal fights have begun playing out in court when those have been denied. For more on the issue, June Grosso speaks to Bloomberg Law senior reporter Aaron Mulvaney.
Which workers have to go back to work, have no excuse, and which workers can make a legal case
So by and large, an employer can fire anyone who doesn't follow a return to office mandate. Most private employers have that right, but there are exceptions to that because there are protections under the Americans with Disabilities Act. That's probably the most powerful one. If there is a legitimate reason and a concern that a person with a disability can't return to an office, there could potentially be an accommodation that's made. And there's kind of a balancing test that comes into play if that makes it up to the court.
And I suppose that now that workers can point to, look what I did during the pandemic, everything worked out fine, that that is, you know, an added boost to their cases.
I had a lawyer tell me that, you know, she doesn't know the full legal landscape yet. We'll see how these cases turn out in court. But it'll be so much more challenging for an employer to show that working on site is an essential function of the job, because that didn't happen for so many office workers for, you know, more than a year. So that could be a potential silver lining for either people with disabilities or even people with caregiving responsibilities.
Before the COVID pandemic, employers generally won the majority of rulings about disability accommodations. What may be shifting there?
We do have some indication that it's a harder case for a company that employs a lot of office workers to make. But we did see generally employers won these rulings, because I think it was that idea that courts were really sympathetic to a company's argument that work needed to happen in person, even if it was office work. And the EEOC actually fought a case on that, and they kind of had an opposite point of view and were trying to say that, like, telework should be considered, especially in these office environments. And they lost. So there's potential for a shift on that question. And it'll be interesting to see how courts respond to it. There was a case that happened last fall. A Massachusetts federal court allowed an asthmatic worker's telework accommodation to move forward, siding with the worker over the company. And a lot of attorneys were pointing to that case and saying that's an early indication that courts may be more sympathetic to those arguments. And, you know, in that case, there was a worker who feared going back into the office because she'd be vulnerable to the virus. A court thought that was a reasonable request, and she clearly proved that she could work from home for a year was something that was cited.
And that's Bloomberg Law senior reporter Aaron Mulvaney speaking with June Grasso. Catch more of that interview, plus analysis of the latest legal news, by listening to the Bloomberg Law Show at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, or by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast. And attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com. Risk off to start the final trading week of July. S&P futures right now down about 10 points. Dow futures down 131. NASDAQ futures down almost 16 points. The 10-year Treasury is up 9/32. The yield 1.24%. Yield on the 2-year 0.19%. NYMEX crude down 0.6%, down 48 cents, $71.59 a barrel. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak on this Monday morning.